Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. I've got a wonderful guest named Daniel Holeman. And Daniel's an amazing artist, actually. His artwork is quite resonant. He uses a lot of geometrics and light and so on. And I have his work on my up-and-coming book. It's on my book cover. I'm so honored to have that. But I want to talk to you today, Daniel, about gene keys. That's another one of your big subjects, isn't it? Gene keys. So welcome to the show, Daniel.
Thank you. I'm really delighted to be back, and it's nice to have conversations with you. Always stimulating.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I've been reading about gene keys. Of course, I love your work, and I feel that that work is stimulating. For people to look at your work visually on awakenvisions.com, they will find a certain vibrational interaction with the beautiful artwork that you do. But talking about vibrational interaction, the system of gene keys is also kind of a mapping of the vibrational interaction we have with all of life, isn't it? It's kind of an interesting thing that way.
Yeah, I've actually started calling myself an ambassador of the gene keys because I feel like I am. I feel like I'm not an expert at it, but I can recognize the value and the merit of it. It speaks very loud and clear of a high frequency transmission that's coming through at this time where there's lots of changes going on. And I really appreciate that it's come in my way, that I've tuned into it, and I've been actually being transformed. It's assisting me in my own transformation, I guess is a better way of saying it.
Well, let's get down to what exactly it is. Is it like an astrological chart, or is it like some kind of map of your destiny, or what would you say it is?
Well, it's a system of transformation. It's a transformational tool. It's like an update, like mega update of the I Ching, which has been a system of wisdom and of guidance for people for a long time. What they've done...
For thousands of years, right?
Thousands of years. What they did was through the human design system, that transmission came through about 25 years ago or so, and that linked the astrological data to the 64 archetypes of the I Ching, much like that to the 12... archetypes of the zodiac a long time ago. So now it's like an update where there's 64 archetypes that have been updated of the different aspects of humanity, the different issues and areas of ways of being, ways of existing as a human being.
Sounds like a deck of divination cards, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like 64. That, but it's so much more because it gives people this tool to achieve their own awakening, because the idea here is that awakening isn't some cookie cutter type process or some one size fits all type of deal like a lot of the gurus, bless their hearts, suggest. It's unique to each individual. The pathway to it is unique based on their own DNA, because that's what the gene keys does. Is it maps those 64 archetypes into our DNA, just like our physical characteristics are coded, I should say, with instructions in our DNA. For the
Well, wait a minute. How do they get hold of our DNA so that we can see these maps?
How do who get a hold of me? Joking.
Well, not really, because I know if you plug all your information in, you can get a free profile. And I'm going, well, how can that relate to DNA? Because you don't have the physical cellular impact. You see what I mean?
That was the other part of the big breakthrough, the big transmission that happened with human design is mapping out, and I don't know the technical details of it very much. It's similar to like, well, how do they map out astrology? How does that work? You know, how do they make those connections to an individual, to those, you know, and the idea is that as within, so without, or the holographic nature of consciousness is that we are holograms as fragmented aspects of a greater one. And you could maybe call it the solar system or this universe or this planetary configuration of consciousness that we're a part of, or an aspect of, we have all those qualities within us, and those symbols that we think about there related to the planets are just, they're just that. They're just symbols talking about those qualities within us.
And how they move, is that right? How they vibrationally move, how they limp.
They're always moving along. Yeah, it's this evolution is always going on. And just like transits are always happening in the now, and there's like a blueprint that's happening at any given moment, there's a blueprint of the qualities and consciousness, and people in that are born in that in each moment as time is going along, are their DNA, and they have this mapped out scientifically. I don't know the details of it, but they talk about neutrinos, I think it is, neutrinos that are always passing through from those heavenly body energy beings, whatever they you want to call them, the astrological influences, whatever you want to call it. They're just a part of us. They are emanating and coming all the time. And our DNA is very environmentally vulnerable and susceptible and malleable. And so those, when you're a little child or a baby being born, your DNA is very vulnerable and sensitive to things. So it's picking up stuff left and right. I think as we get older, we get a little bit more crystallized and solid, and it's still happening, but it's not quite as intense.
When you say picking up stuff, you mean like beliefs and attitudes and limitations and
it's picking up stuff,
and
it's stuff that's in the DNA that's picked up from these neutrinos that are imprinting on the DNA in those areas what's going on now. And so that person then will have their curriculum for this incarnation. They have their set of issues that they're helping to evolve for the whole. And a lot of people are very ashamed of their faults and their shortcomings and their weaknesses, when in actual fact they ought to be saluted and revered for taking on those difficult issues and working them. Because just living and taking stuff personally and going on through time, we're evolving things, just bringing some presence to it. There are ways of slowing it down and speeding it up, but basically it's happening whether we like it or not. We're just by being alive and being aware.
So let's give it a little bit of, because I love what you're saying, but I'm going, okay, let's get it a little bit more usable for listeners. So say we wanted to do the gene keys. How do I start? And how does it impact me? If I've been influenced by the universes and by my DNA, why would I want to use the gene keys or learn them?
Well, there's things that are shadow aspects that we're aware of.
Okay.
And there are some that we're not even aware of. We may have a vague inkling of, but they're more hidden.
Okay.
And that's the nature of it, because that's part of the evolutionary process, is to kind of take the stuff that's visible that we can work with, that's more right in front of us. And as we do that, we evolve and expand. And then the stuff that was subconscious starts to be more visible. It starts to appear. And that's something that's known in other psychological models, and even in astrology too, that works that way with these kind of unconscious things that become available to our viewing as we're looking and as we're transforming the more visible ones. In other words, the more we evolve and the more we expand ourselves, the more we see that there is to take on, you know.
Or to release, would you say?
I don't think it's releasing. It's more transforming, because that was one of the key points of the whole Gene Keys perspective, is that these things are in our DNA. When we're less mature and more, you know, selfish and kind of self-centered and that sort of thing, like when we're young, these things show up as shadow things that we don't like about ourselves. They're like our faults, our weaknesses, da-da-da. We don't like this stuff. We're ashamed of it. We hide it sometimes.
Or we judge it in each other.
And we judge it, and we project it out onto other people. But there's all kinds of stuff we do with this shadow stuff. as we learn to embrace it and accept it and bring our awareness to it more, our presence to it more in a more heart-based way, as opposed to resistant, wishing it wasn't there type of way, then it has the environment that it needs, because that's what I was saying, is the DNA is very environmentally susceptible. It changes with as the environment changes, and it's that interlink between consciousness and materiality and physicality. It's like kind of the CPU or the operating system or something like that of life.
I mean, if I catch on to the fact that I'm, what was the term you used a little bit, that I'm selfish, for example, or I'm one of the, I was looking up gene keys in preparation for speaking with you, and one of the things there were three levels of influence of each thing, right? So
right. The shadow, the gift, and then the city or the light, which is the highest kind of enlightened expression of something.
Okay.
So when they're young, that's shadow. As they get older, they find that within that thing they're trying to get rid of, it actually contains their gift or gifts.
So if it's greed, it's what? Generosity or?
It could be, or greed. The official one going along with greed is aspiration.
Okay.
So instead of being greedy for self-interest type reasons, self-acquisition, you know, self-gain, that type of thing, you aspire with that same essence or quality, but it's directed to a higher ideal. So it's called aspiration.
And does a person have to see the greed in order to get to aspiration? Is that part of the deal?
Yes, because that's the nature of how the shadow works, is it's shadow because it has not been given the light that it needs to exalt or to express in a healthy, flourishing way. Just like a child, if a child has grown up in a horrible, horrible, hateful, mean, nasty, violent environment, that's how it responds. But if it grows up in a very loving and supportive and nurturing environment, it's almost like, you know, the sky's the limit as far as what's possible for the person. So it's similar with our genes. If we give it the love and attention and acceptance that it needs, then it exalts and it grows into its higher frequency expression, because it's all a matter of frequency. And it's in the DNA.
And we have to start off with the whole astrological thing, like your birth time and your place and all that sort of thing.
Well, you could just buy the book, you know, or you can start off right off with the Golden Path, which is a thing that costs some money. It's not real expensive at all. In fact, there's three sequences for it. And it's a sequence because it's like a one of those padlocks where you have to, you can't open unless you do it in the numbers in the right sequence.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
It's similar to that, where you unlock certain ones first and then other ones are more visible then as you're doing this process. And it maps all that out and gives you more details than the book does. The book basically covers the 64 archetypes, and the Golden Path, which is what I'm describing, is like a process. It has 33 steps, and it has three sequences, like about 10 or so steps each one. And each of those steps has within it about 6 or 7 sub-steps to read this or watch this video or read this out of the book. Or
how long does it take? It must take months and months, does it?
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's for real. It's not some fly-by-night get healed or get enlightened quick schemes, you know, like a lot of things promise that type of thing. But, you know, for it to be the real McCoy, there's work that needs to be done, inner work, you know, that needs to be done. And it results in outer work that's done, because we externalize what's going on inside of us. And what a person eventually is going to end up doing with this transformation inside is not just sitting there being some enlightened being. They're going to be plugged in to life. They're going to be plugged into their community and the world, and sharing their gifts, that they are their God-given gifts that they've discovered and that are being cultivated and nurtured and growing within them because of doing the previous steps. So the last steps of the process are all about how to externalize this with your people, the people that are going to love what your gifts are. And there's information on that too, that's and a lot of things on relationships, In fact, I should probably just describe the three sequences
I
that you
think that
showed
would
me.
be wonderful because I also just wanted to say to everybody at home, you can go into genekeys.com and hit free profile and you can get just a sense of it. He's speaking of more the commitment and really understanding yourself, but you can get a kind of a sense and a mapping to start
Yeah,
with so
and
you
you can
know what
read
we're
the, you
talking
can read over,
about.
right, you can read over the book.
But even if you don't
And
have the book, you can get the free profile at first, right?
you can get the profile, but the profile is not going to mean anything. It really is not going to mean anything because it's got its own little set of symbols there. That is, it's like someone getting an astrology chart without having any information of what the planets
Yeah,
mean
that's
and what the
true.
stars mean.
That's true. But there was
So
a
if you don't
little
know what
bit that was
the
interesting.
stars mean, a chart doesn't mean anything. However, you can also listen to videos where he explains this thing, to your listeners. There's quite a few videos actually that are free videos
And that's
and some
Richard
audios.
Rudd, is that right?
Yeah, Richard Wright is this English guy, really great. He's so not a guru and so not a teacher, yet he's the most humble, authentic, natural voice of wisdom that I've come across in a long time. And I've been listening attentively for decades to different teachers, and some very special ones too, but and I've talked personally to quite a few of them too, Ram Dass and Gangadi and Eli Jackson Bear and various ones that are around. I've spoken to them. Anyway, this guy is really amazing, and he's just come out with this stuff. And I'll go over the three sequences if you want.
I'd like that. I'd like that.
All right. So and again, you can just get the book. That's what I did because these things, I got the book before the Golden Path even came out. And so this is all pretty new, the Golden Path stuff. It's just been around about a year and a half, something like that.
But is it an online course? Is that what it is?
Basically, though, I print out all the materials and I download the audios and videos, and so I do it on my own, stuff. But yeah, it's basically an online thing. And so there's three sequences, and they're done in an order for a reason. So the first one is called the activation sequence, and
Okay.
it's got your prime, what are called prime gifts, your primary gifts that a person has in this life, including their higher purpose. And
Okay.
that's the crux of it, is the higher purpose for a person to discover and get clear on that, because that's one of the hidden ones. And so not everyone is real clear on what their higher purpose is. Sometimes people have some version of it, but they're not quite clear on what the essence of that is.
And these days, people are really seeking that, aren't they?
And a lot of people are seeking that because they realize that that's where your true fulfillment lies, not in success in materialism or achievement in status or accomplishments or material acquisition or any of those things don't provide us with the fulfillment that we long for. But serving our purpose, our higher purpose that we were designed for, that's in our DNA, does. And that's why it's important that that's the first step, is to get clear and at least begin the activation of that. So it's in motion to be to being activated more and more. And once that is in place, then a person is ready for relationships. Because if they're still trying to seek happiness outside of themselves through those other things I mentioned, they also seek it through relationship. They try to find happiness through their partner, through the status of them, through their money, through their friendship, through their whatever, instead of finding the happiness within their own selves, within their own, DNA, and being activated as a being, fulfilling their higher purpose, and so sharing that fulfillment that that provides with another person. Then it works. However, there are steps in there that are very significant steps in the Venus sequence. Is the second sequence, it's called Venus sequence, because that's all about addressing the wounds that we have armored our heart with. I mean that we've protected our heart with
I love
these.
that they refer to it as your ancestral wounds. I like that.
Ancestral, right. I used to call those, before I came across this, I used to call them the lineage issues, meaning they go back from my parents, their parents, their parents, things that are passed along generation to generation. And I like this term even better, the ancestral. And so anyway, then a person addresses those and gets to the core wound, the core wound of separation. And each person has a little different nuance of that, how that is to them. And crack that open, and then the idea of going through the second sequence, the Venus sequence, is to be able to live stably in your heart and have healthy relationships, and primary ones and all relationships.
How does that work? Live stably in your heart?
Well, it doesn't mean that you never fall off, but if someone starts screaming at you or something, it's natural for, your heart to contract just a little bit,
Of course.
but then to like go into reaction is the part that doesn't happen, because that's something that once you've brought your presence and your heart into the areas that where you're protecting your heart, then those things relax and you're no longer doing that, and your heart can stay open much more. And like I say, it can then maybe the idea is not that, oh, then you're perfectly in your in this love samadhi state 24/7, but it's more like you are in a relational, loving, friendly, open, warm space all the time. And if something happens in your life that causes a contraction, it's just a momentary little fluff that happens, and then you come back because you know that there's no reason to stay there. There's no
Because it's all about you, is you're loving yourself, right?
because you've felt and experienced those wounds, and you no longer need to push away anything or project anything out to avoid the feeling of those wounds. Once you've done that shamanic kind of facing the demons within, they don't scare you outside anymore. They can't intimidate you. You faced them. So that's the idea of the Venus sequence. So then have healthy relationships and be kind of more resident in your heart. And then once that's the case, you're ready for the pearl sequence, which is all about prosperity and community. It's about giving those gifts that you've discovered. And by the way, the core wound of the Venus sequence is also the beginning point of the pearl sequence, which is your vocation. So your greatest wound is also your greatest gift. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is actually. But
And then
that's
discovering the nature of that, because it's like sometimes it takes a little while to like access some of these things, because some of them are very what we would term more unconscious, or in the subconscious, I mean, subconscious type things.
Well, can you give us an example of a core wound?
Well, I mean, it could be anything of the 64 archetypes, that there could be a core wound around any of those. And then there's nuances to that based on the lines, which is something I won't get into. Just like the I Ching has lines that give further nuances to whatever it is, you know. But if it was like greed, say, that would be their core wound. And so let's say they're, but it's kind of not real clear to them. It's like more of a hidden influence that's affecting their life in certain ways. Say that's as an example. And then when they've addressed the wound re regarding that, and there's information in the written materials called Treading the Golden Path that goes along with the Golden Path, that explain how that all works, which I won't go into the details because I don't even remember all the details.
But I'm thinking, for example, greed. I'm going, well, there must be a fear of things being taken. There must be a fear of not getting anything. There must be a fear of starving or,
Well, fear is one of the elements that's consistent with all the shadows. I mean, meaning every shadow has fear related to it in some way, even if it's very, very core thing that don't even know that it's there. But there's somehow fear is related to all of to every one of them. So yes, you're right. There's like something that one is was trying to prevent from happening, some hurt or something. So there's a fear going on in that, and the way to relax the fear is by facing it
And
and bringing out
understanding, I mean, really understanding that you have it and are it, right?
and understanding it exactly, getting the clarity that comes through the facing. That's that facing and going through the emotional and energetic process that that entails rewards us with, in a sense, with the clarity that comes from doing that, you know, afterwards or as it's happening. So anyway, the pearl sequence then lets you know who are your people to be, your people to be interacting with,
Right.
because it's not everyone. I mean, in some cases it may be, but not for everyone, it's different.
So you mean it's like the people that you're going to attract who will bring out your greed so that you get to act it out?
The people that you attract that recognize you easily and appreciate the gifts that you're offering. That's your people. Now, there's probably more better ways of saying it than Richard Rudd could say. That's just a little one angle on it. But it's your culture, I think, is what they call it. I mean, you're the culture that you're in interacting with, that's going to be receptive and that's going to love what you have to offer. That's a there's kind of a nature to those types of people, and then you can know and be clear about that. And then there's a thing called your brand, which is like the flavor, you know, like my brand has got all this artsy kind of not mystical, but metaphysical, spiritual, artsy type brand is
Right.
what I have.
I think mine was aspiration.
Your brand?
I think so, yeah.
Is that was that 54?
I don't remember. My other computer, which isn't working, has it all up so I could refer to it, but I don't remember now. It's all too new to me, but it had
So
something like that in there.
yeah. So and the city of that gift is ascension.
Right. I did
That's one
read.
of the that's a very special gene key is 54. I'll be interested to see what your chart is once I see it. Well, they call it a profile, actually.
Well, we'll talk about it, and I need to get the book. I have the book back in Bellingham, but it's in storage. But I mean, I think this is really exciting. So, does think about the law of attraction. Does it relate to, is this a different way of explaining why we go out into the world and attract certain trauma, certain drama, certain kinds of abuse, or certain kinds of gifting? You know, is it? Would you put an equation there that it's a good way to reflect that?
Well, there is that it does touch in upon that. There's the second step, the second sphere, because there's these different spheres which contain the gene keys on this profile.
Okay.
The second one is called the sphere of attraction, which is that. It's like, why do we attract, this is very common, the certain types of people over and over again in our lives, or
Boy,
the
do we ever.
and what's the nature of the, and what's going on there? What's that about? What is it that's in us that is attracting that? So it's called the attraction sphere. And so then you
Well, it
look,
also could be a fear, couldn't it?
well, it is. I mean, all of them are going to have some fear connected with it in some way.
Yeah.
But that doesn't need to be too pondered upon as much as that just sort of dissolves as one is diving in, you know, as you're facing it, the fear part of it just, you know, lessons and lessons.
And does the attraction of a certain program or pattern, does that also lessen and lessen as you recognize it?
Yes, it transforms from the shadow expression to the gift expression.
Okay.
So, you know, in that example of the greed, then a person would be maybe not only aspiring to their own highest expression, their exaltation, but helping other people as kind of a beacon of that essence. Other people, whether they're doing it consciously or just by kind of example, it doesn't matter. There's different ways of doing that.
Probably amps up the compassion when you've already faced it yourself.
And then that, well, that's the huge component of the whole Venus sequence is you're in a sense kind of unleashing this tremendous compassion, because we've all suffered and we've all hurt at times in our lives, probably some of us a lot. And getting to the correct understanding and the facing of all that hurt and what's behind it and what it's all about. I wept at reading one of them. I mean, pretty long, and it wasn't like I was sad or anything. It was just my heart just kind of touching into something that was real sensitive and feeling that. And it really like opens things up. But just reading one of the gene keys, that happens to people. They have these cathartic type experiences often. I mean, if they're taking it seriously, I've seen people, or at least one person I know, that just kind of read it and they liked it and everything, as just that kid just kind of read it cover to cover as kind of this intellectual exercise. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. You're getting the overview of it all and so forth. But really, to take advantage of its power, the potential that it has, both the book and the Golden Path, one wants to really take it seriously and do the contemplation and the self inquiry and the self feeling and the looking in and stuff that it's guiding us through so well. I mean, it's amazing how thorough and articulate this whole system is.
Wow. But so you're saying that I think what I'm understanding is that the words themselves can trigger both an identity and a release. Is that right?
Yeah, it stirs things up, definitely.
Yeah.
And even a person can start having, it's not uncommon for a person to start having some of these things. Let's say they were really shy when they were young. But
right.
They learned in life different strategies and systems and, you know, maybe grew around it a little bit and so forth. And so they're not so shy anymore. And so then they're going through this process and they're going, reading the materials and doing the inquiries and so forth. And then they notice, wow, you know, I've been feeling kind of shy lately. So in other words, it kind of activates these things, like, so that it puts it right in your face. So it's easy to transform it. So it's easy to presence it, and easy to find some degrees of acceptance, which isn't easy at first for some of the things. It's not easy, especially as we're older. We've had a whole life of maybe hiding some certain things, you know?
Yeah, I know. One of the lines was dishonesty and one of the parts of mine. And I've really been kind of mesmerized by that, going, I always think of myself as open and honest, but quite often we do hide things and there is a deep dishonesty in that. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I've already been thinking and thinking and thinking about it for the last hour and a half, you know, off and on. Yeah.
Yeah. So it gets you thinking. And then what happens is it's one of those things that's like tremendously powerful in this way, that you read some stuff. And then you live it. You watch it. You have a new lens. It's basically a lens for both looking inside and also watching and noticing your experience in your day-to-day life. And so you're starting to notice how your reactions are. And you go, oh, that's that. Oh, that's how that shows up. When someone, you know, looks at me funny, I've always had that kind of a thing. You know, and this is not like something new. This is like noticeable in many, many different systems of transformation, that you get a new lens and then you live with it and you grow with it over time. It grows you. It's like it starts growing you. It kind of takes a life of its own almost. And transformation just starts occurring. The more you dig into it, the more things start churning and having that you're watching your day-to-day life in.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps going.
You're getting that reflection over and over of something that you hadn't been aware of maybe in yourself, right?
Yeah. Or maybe you had some awareness of, but it wasn't quite as clear. Now you're looking at a new crystal clear glasses on. And so you're changing along with it. And so the point I'm making here is that it does bring stuff up that needs to be brought up, and in a good sequence to do that. That's why I suggest that people do the Golden Path rather than just reading the book, which either one is going to be amazing, but the
But
Golden Path is like this tremendous opportunity for people who are serious about transformation and who had maybe at one time or even now have an aspiration to reach enlightenment, however they want to define that. And some people give up. Some people, especially after they've been a few decades, in trying different things,
I was going to ask you how long, how long?
and they just kind of settle for like, well, okay, well, I guess this is about as far as I get here. Well, be encouraged that there's a new kid on the block. There's new stuff coming through now, left and right. And this Gene Keys isn't the only thing. There's other things out there. I've just gotten really excited about it because I've been looking at different things for so many years, and this one jumps out as being so powerful, and I'm doing it, so I'm naturally enthusiastic about it.
Well, the Golden Path, is that actually it's more of a multimedia thing. Is that why it's so multifaceted? Is that why it's so big?
Yes, it addresses a lot, and it encourages you to take the time that it takes rather than just rush through it.
It's a way of life, isn't it?
It's like, okay, read this, listen to this, do this. Okay, now maybe, be with that for a little while, digest it, churn on it, experience with those new lenses for a little while, and then when you're feeling like it's time for more, come back for more, and then there's more, and you go deeper and stuff, and it's like layers of stuff. And what we find is that a lot of the stuff that people were taking so personally, oh, this is my grief over my loss that I had, and da da da, and that caused it. It's like, no. What we discover along the way is all of it is archetypal stuff. And we've personalized it in order to evolve it. It's all not us. It's in our DNA, passed along through generations.
So you're just saying it just has this this thing that you need to embody in this life, not something that happened to you. Is that right?
All the issues that people have that they take so personally, you know what I mean? I got my abandonment issue. I got my, this issue, that issue, betrayal, all these different things that people they're so personalized. And this over time, the discovery is, and it can't be done mentally. It has to be done whole bodily, like holistically, with their emotions and their everything. To get to that place where it's discovered for themselves, not just as an intellectual idea, that this stuff that they've been taking personally is collective stuff. It's all archetypal, and they've just been taking it personally in order to evolve it, because that's how we evolve things, by taking them personally
Well,
and
that's
looking
true,
at them through
yeah.
that lens. So it's this amazing unfoldment to like a very more much more expanded place to live from, and to offer one's gift, and to find the things that one has been looking for all their lives through maybe the wrong channels, like the society suggests that we find happiness through our self-image, right? They're very big on self-image, looking pretty and all these things, and how we dress and our jewelry and who we're wearing and all this ego stuff. And then there's a material acquisition. Well, if you're making a lot of money, then you should be happy and all this. That's like big time thinking that out there. And it's just not true. We've been looking for happiness in the wrong places, and this is like steering us to the right place to find not just happiness, but a true deep fulfillment through our core, from our core, where we're like really living aligned, dynamic expression of our divinity, of our unique hybrid of qualities that we are. There's no one else that's like us. Even people that are born, I met people that are born the same day as me, and they're like different because of variations
Yeah,
that are
I hear
possible.
even twins are like that, hey?
Sometimes, yeah, it's the environment is very influential on the DNA. And again, there's a lot of different variables that come into play there, which is probably another conversation of all the variables.
Well, hey, Daniel, what happens if the environment is influential on the DNA? That kind of makes sense to me. So I'm thinking about healing. So a lot of this exploration must have an actual physical healing impact or emotional healing. I know you've already talked about emotional psychological healing, but it must help with illnesses too, does it?
I think so, because I think a lot of the physical ailments are just a symptom of stuff that's going on with a person on a more inner consciousness level, even if it's hidden.
Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is gene keys are like access to the DNA shifts. So some people can say, oh, I just inherited this, right? And you can say...
Well, everyone inherited everything, but that's not helpful or beneficial to think that. It's true. We do inherit the DNA from our mother and our father, and then we have new DNA that's not either of theirs on each birth that happens. So there's both not just the mother and the father. There's the mother's lineage or ancestry,
mm-hmm.
and there's the father's ancestry, which is like, you know, that going all the way back to reptilian and beyond, you know,
right.
DNA.
A few ETs along the way.
And then the the new stuff, because there's always new stuff getting imprinted in the now with as this time continuum is going and new babies are being born.
And it seems like time is speeding up, or vibrations are certainly moving swiftly through the collective. It seems there's a big change coming that way too, hey?
Well, these people that are into this stuff believe that there's, based on the astronomical, astrological timings, that there's a huge mutation for humanity coming up probably in about 12 years or so, something like that. In that vicinity, you know, give or take. In other words, it's in the transits. You can see it in the transits, certain things that are coming up. It's going to have a huge difference.
Are you talking about gene keys transits?
Astrological transits that are translated into gene keys terms, and same with human design, also human design terms. Now, you can see these things happen in regular astrology. Like right now, we're one transit that's going on is Pluto transiting going through Capricorn right now,
and it's going till 2020, isn't it?
And you can see the things happening on a global, or yeah, whenever that is. I think it might even be past that, like 22 or something. I'm not sure, but you can see the thing that's happening with authority. It's getting questioned. It's getting knocked down, all with this thing, all with the police, mm-hmm. in other mm-hmm. countries, all over the world. The corruption of authority is getting exposed mm-hmm. and cut down. And that's part of Pluto going, which is transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And Capricorn is related to authority.
Right. And structure.
And so there's a lot of things going on. That's just like one little sliver of that whole story that's happening around Pluto and Capricorn. But I'm just saying, you can see it in the world. And we're going to, I think that what they call a mutation happens every once in a while. You know, there's this huge leap forward in a species. And supposedly we're going to leap forward into like a kind of a new version of the species. There's going to be some big change that happens coming up pretty soon.
Hmm.
I mean, we're in rapid change now, but I'm talking about a big leap forward. And it might involve, I don't know, I'm just speculating, it might involve quite a bit of death.
Yeah.
This transformation happens through death sometimes.
This is a kind of a cleansing.
Yeah. And it's like to that, at that level of consciousness, death is not personalized like we do it as individual people, you know. So like for having that big transformation, if that's what it requires, that's what it takes. It's no big deal. It's just like ending of a story and starting a new story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The consciousness never dies because it was never born, and it just always is. It's creating everything that comes and goes, right? And so it's not concerned about the
physical well-being,
death, destruction, like we might be all like, oh no, this mustn't happen, you know. So anyway, that's just a little sidestep there.
Well, I was just thinking that the gene keys, studying the gene keys and the golden path and so on, might help us to meet death. You know what I mean? To help us die at a in a
Absolutely.
yeah.
It'll help us so that we're not fearing death, so that we
So not
understand.
dragging the ancestral doodah along with us too.
And it's a great thing for like the, if for people that feel like, okay, the buck stops here. I'm not going to pass along my ancestral contaminations, the viruses, psychological viruses, the shadow stuff that that has been passed along through lifetime after lifetime. I'm not going to be passing this any further. I'm going to integrate it. I'm going to transform it myself. I'm going to become the conduit for it to express in the healthy ways instead of these unhealthy ways, as has been done, generation to generation. It's kind of sad, actually. And that sort of thing, that clarity that happens along the way, really opens the heart to the tragedy and the shame that it is that we've been creating and experiencing so much suffering that's not necessary, really. But you can't just wish it away. You can't think it away.
We didn't have the consciousness to recognize it as a choice.
Yes, and it's also not something that's really determined by us. It's almost like this greater one that is doing the awakening is doing it through us. So we think that we have much more control than we do. Now, not to say that we're just totally pawns. It's that thing of both and. It's one of those paradox things, both and. We are involved, and we're also, or we are determining our future, and our future is also being determined for us.
But also, aren't we, and you're talking about gene keys too, aren't we learning to unlimit us as a limited species? Isn't that what we're learning to do?
I think that's just a byproduct. Like a lot of things are byproducts of the process of awakening and exalting. When I say exalting, I mean getting into a place where a person is their highest possible expression, at least at any given time. It's their highest possible expression of their gifts and what they're here to radiate and emanate from their lives to the rest of the world. What that is.
So as you're it's to bring people to their true nature and the purpose of their being, is that right?
Yeah, their true nature, their exaltation, their highest potential. There's a lot of different terminology for it, but that's what happens along the way.
Do you teach this, Daniel?
No, what I do is I tell people about it, as like I'm doing here. I have it on my website, and people are welcome to come to my website and look over what I've written about the Gene Keys and also some of the stuff I have featured there from Richard Rudd, the author, who, by the way, I think I mentioned I'm going up to Canada to meet him at a retreat that he's doing on the Seven Sacred Seals. And I'm going to be showing some of my artwork there to the people. That'd be nice.
And your artwork is videos, right?
Yeah, I have these really cool videos that are way, way, way beyond my 2D drawings or paintings.
Are they, one thing I love about your drawings or your artwork that's on your site is that it evokes a response in me and other people that look at it. There's kind of an energy impact in its beauty and in its the lines and geometrics. So tell us about your videos. What are they? They're doing more of that.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain my videos. They're it's almost like something. It's been a result of doing a lot of this Golden Path stuff, but the creative channel just opened up really wide, and it's like something is kind of coming through me in these videos, and they're evoking responses. Like if you can imagine some of my newer images that just kind of come alive, and you feel like you're there. And it's kind of moving and has a feeling to it. And there's music that's very moving as well that goes in sync with the videos. And so people are sometimes going into altered states or starting to cry. They just cry. I mean, cry, like not just a little tear up, but like cry kind of hard. It's amazing.
Wow, that's wonderful. I think that, well, I'm saying it's wonderful, but usually that's a tear of release and appreciation and ecstasy, isn't it?
It's that tear of like of being reminded of that place that we might call home of the soul, you know, and that maybe to have it shown like that or kind of induced the way it is, it can be very touching. And a lot of people are having
So
that.
is your core issue, is that creativity? Or is that light and
My core what?
well, we're talking gene keys and we're talking your amazing creative abilities as you do the gene keys, and then you're having these videos that are essentially coming through you from a higher level, right?
Well, my higher purpose is that one that we were talking about earlier, which is aspiration is the gift, greed is the shadow, and ascension is the city or the highest expression, the light. And so these videos are like kind of the voice or the transmission from ascension places or something. I'm not sure.
But it's just an interesting discussion to embody some of these concepts that are really beautiful. They're very beautiful. Gives everybody listening some hope that they've got these three levels of moving through whatever it is that we're laboring under at our earlier levels, right?
Yeah, and
Turn it into something brilliant.
this is especially pertinent to people that have been on a spiritual, excuse me, a spiritual path for some time, and maybe they're not quite feeling like they are where they hoped they might be in their lives, either in the physical manifestation way or in how they feel on their insides and out. They kind of go together, you know. But if their person is kind of stale in their spiritual path or frustrated or just not like they're moving fast enough or anything like that, this is the I feel very confident in recommending this to people. And if they, like I said, they could go to my website and find out a little bit more about it, and then go to that Gene Keys site too and find out more about it and see if it speaks to them.
And listen to some of the YouTubes with Richard Rudd as well. I think they're very inspiring.
Yeah, there's a bunch of the stuff you can just do to get a feel of it.
Oh, this is really exciting stuff. And you're going up to Canada, and you're also showing your videos in Tucson in a while, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to go in August 15th through the 20th. I'm going to be the featured artist, showing one of the videos each day, and then having a half an hour one day and an hour another day on a 5 day. It's the International Congress on Illumination, but that Patricia Cota Robles puts on,
Oh, wonderful.
and that should
Wonderful.
be a really great, exposure and connection of this material, these videos, and sharing some of the information about the gene keys to these folks as well. Because a lot of times, the people that have gotten into the ascension movement, I got so enamored with this. The secret, the law of attraction, they've kind of misunderstood it. It's not really meant for material acquisition or to be used for the ego's comfort or any of those types of things. That's not the idea. It's a principle like gravity. It's a law of consciousness, not a some gimmick or scheme to get more things. Or to get what you want, that can be kind of tricky. So this is about transforming a person to their true nature and their full possibility and their exalted self, and then all that stuff that they're looking for by trying to apply, law of attraction gimmicks comes into place. They get what they need. They get the prosperity that they need by living a life that of just what they need in order to give their gifts.
I love that, and that, but they also have to be in touch, or we also have to be in touch with the shadow to use its gifts that are embedded in the shadow, right?
Yeah.
Perhaps not embedded, but you know what I mean? They,
Yeah, it's encoded. That's right. It's
yeah.
encoded.
Well, I've really enjoyed this, Daniel, and as usual, we get to a point and I go, okay, we could go on and on, but we're out of time. And I really appreciate that you would come on and play with me and teach us all about this without very much notice. So I
Well, I like your interviews as well. You're very good comments and questions, and I enjoy it very much. Thank you.
thank you. And your website is?
Oh yeah, awakenvisions.com. So it's AwakenVisions, awakenvisions.com.
And the other one is genekeys.com. That's Richard Rudd's Gene Keys one, right?
Yeah. There's genekeys.com, and there's a new one that's out that's an amazing portal. It's almost like kind of like a multidimensional portal called genekeys.net.
Oh,
And
really?
they have this place, it's like you can join it, and you can, if you want, you can either not join it or you can join it. You can still take advantage of it, but it's got a lot of information and stuff there as well.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And also, I think all of these, as you said, portal, all of these, your work, your website, and the Gene Keys ones, and so on, and the Tucson place, and probably Hollyhock, those are all places where people can stew in the higher frequencies that are available to us all, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Daniel Holloman. It's been
All right,
wonderful.
Veronica.
We'll talk soon. Thank
All
you.
right, take care. Thanks again.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.